You're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Tax fees may apply.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden visiting Native American lands outside Phoenix today, issuing a formal apology for the U.S. policy decades ago that forcefully removed children from their tribal families and put them in federally run boarding schools, which led to widespread abuse. The president calling it a sin on America's soil.
I formally apologize as President of the United States of America for what we did. I formally apologize.
The president making the remarks as Democrats also look to bolster support in the battleground state of Arizona. Vice President Kamala Harris arriving in Texas for a rally on reproductive rights and showing support for U.S. Representative Colin Allred. He's running against Ted Cruz for the Senate seat. Former President Trump also in Texas conducting an interview with the Joe Rogan podcast. He heads to Michigan for a rally. And all eyes on Los Angeles tonight for Game 1 of the World Series between the Dodgers and the New York Yankees. This is ABC News. Wildfires are sweeping through the Amazon at an alarming pace.
Next year, the Amazon city of Belém, Brazil, will host the annual UN Climate Conference, COP30. This year, news that wildfires have destroyed an area the size of Switzerland is becoming a big deal. The National Institute for Space Research shows an area that's burned between January and October represents an 846% increase over the same period in 2023. The worst drought ever across Brazil has played a role, but so has deforestation. Station using fire to make pasture for cattle. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A federal judge blocking the fusion of a handbag companies behind Coach, Kate Spade, Jimmy Choo, and Michael Kors, saying the $8 billion deal would raise prices and hurt consumers. Halloween's coming. Google releasing the most searched costumes. This year's number one, Bob from the Beetlejuice sequel. In second place, Olympic breakdancer Ray Gunn. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Green Bay Packers agree to offer the city of Green Bay the money it wants in an extended lease for Lambeau Field.
That move came after all 12 city council members on Wednesday voiced their support for Mayor Eric Genrich in negotiations with the team. Council President Brian Johnson.
He is sticking up for what's right for taxpayers and asking for things that are completely appropriate in a lease agreement.
Following the press conference, the Packers offered rent with an annual escalator of 2.75% for 30 years, starting at about $1 million. In return, the team said it would invest $1.5 billion in the stadium, and taxpayers would not be obligated to pay for that. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin and South Dakota-based healthcare systems plan to merge.
Marshfield Clinic Health System and Sanford Health, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, announced Wednesday they plan to merge. The joint press release said the integration of the two health systems aimed to improve patient care with new technology, research, and training. The merger is expected by the end of the year, subject to regulatory approval and closing conditions, the company said. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
Artificial intelligence research at UW-Madison is getting a multi-million dollar boost.
The Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation is giving $160 million in total to the university, with $15 million of that going to AI research. Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says the award will help UW-Madison lead the way in shaping AI's role in our future. The grant will also help speed up hiring of 120 to 150 new faculty over 3 to 5 years, help fund cutting-edge tech, bolster research staff, and provide startup costs. WARF has been awarding grant money to the university since 1925, and this year's total is larger than last year's grant total of roughly $134 million. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and seasonal, both today and tomorrow. High temperatures reach those upper 50s. Then, wind shift out of the south for Sunday, warming us up to the low 60s and spiking us to near 70 on Monday. Then, the heat really cranks up for Tuesday, nearing 80 degrees. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 52.
After a week with mostly higher trade, corn prices ended the week with a price slide. Wheat prices led the way to the downside, dragging bean prices lower too. Cattle complex erased some early price pressure to end mixed and lean hog futures pushed solidly higher. Cotton ended a choppy week with price losses.
Live from the final lap of the week, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Ed Usett from the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Report day. Cattle on feed report was just released. Cold storage report was just released as well. I had time to look at the cattle on feed report. I have not had time to look at the cold storage report. Hopefully I can do that at some point before the end of the show and try to get some kind of a take on what we learned in the cold storage report. But the cattle on feed report, total feedlot inventory on October 1, it's basically unchanged. 11,600,000 versus 11,604,000 a year ago. So the change is down 0.03%. The trade expected a 0.3% increase. Yeah, it's close enough, right? Close enough that the trade did a good job of anticipating it. Placements in September down 1.91%. The trade expected a 4% decline. And marketing's up 2.04%. Trade expected a 2% increase. So placements came in a little bit lower than the trade expectations. That's the reason that total inventory on October 1 came in just below trade expectations, because marketings were right in line with trade expectations. I'd call it a sharply neutral report, Davis.
Sharply neutral. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fractionally moderate.
But What a week for cattle. What a week for beef. I shouldn't say nobody. The expectations for the cash cattle trade this week was, come on, we've been up like 6 weeks in a row. We got to set back at some point. Uh-uh, we didn't. Cash trade, most locations up about, you know, up another couple of bucks this week. The futures market seems to be fighting it here. I don't know what's going to bust it loose and allow that futures market to follow this rally that we've had in the cash. But box beef was higher again this morning, man. So it was a good week. It was a good week for cattle, and this cattle on feed report isn't going to do anything to slow it down.
All right.
How you doing, man? Everything good?
Pretty good. Actually, I got a big night planned. The wife and I have been talking about barbecue, and tonight's the night. Yeah. You talk about, you know, brisket demand is about to increase. Yeah.
Oh, well, if you're eating the
can't think about anything else.
So since it's about to increase, that would tell me that this is not on your own smoker. This is on some pitmaster's smoker.
Yes. Yes. One of the awesome. Glitterati of the KC Cuisine crew. They don't know it yet. But they've been working on my brisket for a while now. They don't know it yet.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm not exactly sure what's on tap for tonight. You know, usually I get to plan the meals around here, but not going to be at home tonight. So we'll just see where things land us. But I do know this, come tomorrow morning, I'm going to be traipsing through some cover of some CRP ground, trying to get those pretty chickens to fly and die.
Yes.
Pheasant season opens in Iowa.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yes. No doubt. No doubt. Okay. Dude, we got a lot of ground to cover. Let's get started on the markets. What you got?
Sure thing. Wheat futures posted double-digit losses. With hard red winter wheat futures leading the price decline, production concerns exist for Australia, USHRW, and white winter wheat areas, and the Black Sea region, while Argentina's crop expectations improved this week. Today's downside reversal in December SRW wheat futures erased midweek gains. December HRW futures also posted a downside reversal and closed below 580 for the first time since September 27. December spring wheat futures made it 3 for 3. With today's downside reversal, December HRW wheat futures 15 cents lower at 572. December soft red wheat down 12 and a half to 569. December spring wheat closed at 605 and a quarter. That's down 12 and three quarter cents, Trip.
All right. And spring wheat led the price declines this week with a 1.82% decline. HRW down 1.5%, and the SRW D's contract down 0.65. Now, in a sense, looking at the price losses this week, December SRW down 3 3/4 cents, December HRW down 8 3/4, and December spring wheat down 11 1/4 cents.
Well, corn futures closed lower for the first time this week. December corn opened slightly lower, and near session highs closed near session lows. Even in the late stages of corn harvest, demand was enough to lift corn prices this week. USDA has announced the daily export sale in each of the past 8 business days. Today's sale, 136,000 metric tons for delivery to Mexico in the current marketing year. Corn export bookings are running ahead of the pace needed to get to USDA's export estimate. But there is concern buyers are front-loading purchases ahead of the U.S. elections. December corn futures were 6 1/4 cents lower at 415 1/4. March corn down 5 1/2, 429 1/2. July corn futures closed at 441 1/2. That's down 3 3/4, Chip.
December and March corn this week down 10 1/2 cents.
Well, USDA this morning announced a sale of
100. I said down. I said down. I meant up. Why did I say down? It was
it
up 10 1/2 cents. Decent March corn up 10 1/2 cents.
Jeez. We're not used to this kind of thing. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, USDA this morning announced a sale of 116,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to China in the current marketing year. That's the 8th daily export sales announcement in the past 2 weeks. Soybean oil futures were a source of support for bean prices this week. Indonesia's biofuel plans are expected to take more palm oil off the global market going forward. December bean oil posted an inside trading session today. Bean meal was on the short side of the oil meal spread all week and posted four consecutive lower closes. Today's session low close was the lowest since August 23. January beans posted a high range open and a low range close. Jan beans, 7.5 cents lower today, 9.97.5. March beans, down 7 cents, 10.09. July beans closed at 10.35.75. That's down 6 cents today.
January beans down 14.75 cents. March beans down 12.25. Dease bean oil down 233 points. And Dease meal down $9.80.
Well, December cotton tested support at last week's lows on today's low, Chip. Cotton today, the December contract, 87 points lower, 70.66.
Yeah, down 33 points on the week.
On your livestock, the closes quickly here. December live cattle, a dime lower, 189.15. November feeder futures, a nickel higher, 248.57.5. And Dease lean hog futures, 102.5 higher today, 79.67.5, Chip.
Yeah, Dease live cattle on the week up 182.50. November feeder cattle futures up 97.5 cents. December lean hogs up $1.85. And I know I did it on beans too. You know, I said that they were lower. They were higher.
Yeah.
14.75 cents higher on the week in the Jan and 12.75 cents higher in the March on the week. Ed Houston, he'll get me straight next.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for the best ag knowledge from top-notch industry experts? Join me, Mike Howell, on The Dirt, an economics podcast. From nutrient management to the latest weather, market, and ag trends, The Dirt is your place for farm smart topics to boost your profitability. Get ready to dig into Season 3 of The Dirt Podcast.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of...
I'm Paul Hambleton, your choice for state senate. Public schools are the center of civic life in rural Wisconsin, where school sports are the talk of the town, achievements are celebrated, and marrying your high school sweetheart is still a thing. Sadly, school funding has been neglected for two decades. As a former special ed teacher, I know how important it is to reach kids early, and the need is increasing. Yet there has been little help for the high cost of special education. Restricted state funding hasn't even kept up with inflation, forcing districts to go to referendum to increase property taxes just to keep the doors open, as 120 districts are doing on November 5th. Folks, it's time to work together. I'll work together across the aisle in the legislature to fix our school funding system for rural Wisconsin and keep our promise to the future, because together we can do better. I'm Paul Hambleton, and I approve this ad, paid for by the committee to elect Paul Hambleton.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Beck's. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BecksHybrids.com. Well, I heard he
needed some help on Davis.
Let me get a Diet Coke with
get
that,
focused.
Too.
I can't focus here. Come on,
little,
man.
It's these little sweet potato pies, like in those little tiny, like one single serving
you gotta,
aluminum.
You got to stop. You got to stop.
Saran
no,
wrap. It's
markets.
So good.
Markets, 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 markets. You got, man, we're so close. Stay focused here. Stay
okay.
focused.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, during the break, I got a message from a listener that says okay. I might be thinking about those ditch chickens just a little bit too much, and I need to get refocused here. So,
I think your head's right where it needs
that.
To be. Yeah, you got it. You got this.
All right. Ed Usett with the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota joins us right now. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chip, and I'm just hoping I can match the energy level that you and your partner bring to this show.
Well, I hope so, too.
I like the rouser in the background.
You bet. Big thank you to Bex for sponsoring the Farm Journal College Roadshow. And this week, obviously, we're at the University of Minnesota. Tyne Morgan was up there yesterday, had a conversation with Ed, and is going to have full coverage from the University of Minnesota on this weekend's U.S. Farm Report. So be sure to check out Tyne this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. Man, I tell you, here we are. I just want your take on this, Ed, because it's the later stages of harvest, and we've got corn up a dime, and we've got beans up 12 to 15 cents this week. That's not a bad performance, is it?
That's pretty good. Here in Minnesota, I want to say the soybean harvest is just about done, and up until last night, the reason we're so far ahead is we finally got us a modest rain last night, which is the first one much of the state has had for 6 weeks. And you talk about the price being higher. I'm looking at something else. I'm looking at basis. It's harvest time. And you would think that corn basis and soybean basis should be on the defensive. But I'll tell you, through parts of southern Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota, you've got a corn basis that's creeping higher from pretty good levels, 30 under the D's a week, 10 days ago, and now 22 under in a lot of areas. You go to an ethanol plant, they're talking 10 over. A similar story in soybeans, where we had 40 to 45 under a couple of weeks ago. We're now up around 35 under. That's a funny thing for basis to do in the middle of harvest.
Well, it is. Now, the last time you were on, it was the first part of August. I don't remember the exact date, but I know it was the first part of August. And we were talking about basis being higher than what you would expect it to be at that time. And I think we both kind of thought, well, even if Minnesota has kind of a tough crop, which we were anticipating at that time because of the planting season, you know, we still kind of agreed that, well, basis is going to have to back off for us at some point in harvest. Hasn't done it.
And
yeah,
your old time merchandisers, your cash grain traders pay a lot of attention to basis. And you can't talk a bearish talk, a bad bearish situation with a basis that's rising. The two don't go together.
Right. Right.
I was going to say, we're also watching spreads narrow. December, July corn has narrowed this month, not widened. That's an odd thing to do during harvest. And the same thing with the November, July soybean spread.
Okay. All right. So what's the reason? Is it demand, or is it because the supply isn't going to be as big as what the markets have factored in?
I think the demand is remains firm, and your local elevators and your processing plants just find it hard to buy grain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's simple.
It seems like, Ed, it seems like guys did a decent job of moving corn before the harvest started. And once the harvest started, they did a real nice job of filling up their storage again, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And they're going to do that. They're going to pack it away. If they have room for it, they're going to pack it away.
Right, right. So we're talking about a harvest season in our neck of the woods. But when you stretch it out and look at the entire Corn Belt, it's been a super fast harvest, and yes. The grains have done a nice job of absorbing the pressure. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I've been wondering for a while if the lows we set in August were the lows, were the harvest lows, or the season lows, if you will. And I'm starting to believe they are. I'm a little concerned about the soybean market, but I think wheat and corn is going to hold steady and look for ways to trade modestly higher into the new year.
Okay. You know, modestly higher, it'd be great. Sharply higher would be better, because, man, oh, man, Ed, we're looking at the markets for corn, soybeans, and wheat are completely different than what they were a year ago right now, and it's being reflected in farm financials and the outlook for the year ahead, isn't it?
It's a tough go. You know, I'm sure that your listeners have heard this for a while. We're looking at cash corn prices that got to be a dollar under production costs today. We're looking at soybean prices that are probably $2 under production costs. So we've got a lot of work to do if we want to make things better in the next year.
Okay. How does the market do that work? I mean, is part of the function, you know, adjusting the input costs and bringing those input costs to make today's prices more profitable at you know, good yields or APH yields? I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. How do we adjust for this?
Well, you've brought up a good point on production costs. I work with some colleagues here at the university who do some good work on production costs. And normally, we would expect in a year like this where prices have come down so sharply, we're always frustrated that input costs don't come down as fast, but they do tend to come down. You know, they creep down. That's not what we're finding this year, and I've got some smart people telling me that the production cost outlook for 2025 looks a lot like 2024. They aren't coming down. They're not particularly getting worse, but they're not coming down. My message here is not much fun. It's not bad if you're a livestock or a dairy producer, though.
Right, right. What is that? What do you think that means for 2025? You know, I'm thinking of the acreage mix.
Oh boy, that's a good question. I haven't given that a lot of thought.
Okay,
I gotta believe, but I'm leaning towards more corn acres than soybean acres. Soybean market is disappointing.
You're two in a row to do that. We had Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag on the show yesterday, and he's the first one that started talking about more corn acres for next year, compared to this year.
I was going to say demand for corn is pretty good. It's not soaring, but it's rock solid in the ethanol department. The cattle and hog producers have good numbers, good margins. They're not going to be shrinking. And even dairy, and you know, who knows? Dairy rarely has a good year, and here they are. They're having a good year, and that's got to be good for corn demand too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The problem with more corn acres in 2025 is you probably can't take enough acres away from beans to fix the outlook for the bean market. Right,
right, right. Right. Yeah, that's. Soybeans, Chip, I'm very happy to talk wheat and corn, and let's not talk about soybeans.
Yeah, it's a tough situation in this bean trade right now, and it is for more reasons than one. All right. Hey, yeah. We're coming up on a break. And I don't want to start a new conversation before we get to that break, because we are on the College Roadshow, thanks to Bex for sponsoring the conversation with Ed today. Ed Youssef from the University of Minnesota. He is in the Center for Farm Financial Management there at the U of MN. Now, when we come back, a couple of other things that I want to talk about. What does a post-election market look like? There's been a recent study on the impact of tariffs. Tariffs have been a very hot topic of discussion. We're going to continue it with that.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 15 cents lower at 572. December soft red wheat down 12 and one half cents to 569. December corn futures were 6¼ cents lower at 415 and a quarter. March corn down 5½ to 429 and one half. January soybean futures were 7½ cents lower at 997 and a half. March beans down 7 cents to 10.09. December cotton today, 87 points lower, 70.66. On your livestock, December fat cattle were a dime lower at 189.15. November feeder futures and nickel higher at 248.57 and one half. And December lean hog futures, 102 and a half higher at 79.67 and one half. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
What's the farmers? Now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and seasonal both today and tomorrow. High temperatures reach those upper 50s. Then winds shift out of the south for Sunday, warming us up to the low 60s and spiking us to near 70 on Monday. Then the heat really cranks up for Tuesday, nearing 80 degrees. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 52.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us Friday afternoon. And we are on the College Road Show at the University of Minnesota, the Center for Farm Financial Management, and Ed Usett. Ed, I had three messages from listeners before the show started that said, be sure to get some information from Ed on what he thinks this wheat market's going to do. Because I'll admit, I've been pretty corn and soybean focused here recently. We've been trying to include wheat in the conversation, but man, if we got you, we got to find it out. What are you thinking on wheat?
Well, the wheat market is just so interesting right now. First of all, we talk about burdensome stock levels in the world of soybeans, too comfortable stock levels in corn. You look worldwide in wheat, take China out of the picture, and we're borderline tight on wheat stocks, in my opinion, the way I see it. Now, the issue with wheat is the U.S. has had a couple of good crops. Our stock levels are heavy. Our domestic demand is flat. But worldwide, the wheat situation on the supply side is very interesting. And I heard an interesting phrase from someone in the industry a couple of weeks ago who mentioned that the market had become comfortably numb to the war in Ukraine, that this thing that was going to upset the whole world order, we've now sort of accepted it. We've gotten complacent about it. Boy, Chip, I don't know if that's the right attitude to have about that. That could not swing either way.
Yeah, not when North Korea is moving troops in there, Ed.
No, I'm I think the wheat market has better upside than corn or soybeans in the next 6 to 8 months.
Well, if wheat would start to reflect some of those geopolitical concerns and show some strength, corn and soybeans would have to follow along to some degree, wouldn't they?
I would hope so. Certainly corn.
Yeah.
It'll have a bigger impact there. Soybeans, the tie there is pretty light. It's an acres thing. And that soybean market feels an awful lot, very heavy right now. I'm not sure if wheat can pull it out of that or not.
Is there a dollar in downside risk in beans from where we're at right now?
Oh, under the, throw some new news out there, some bearish news. Unfortunately, that's the one market that I do see downside in. I hope it doesn't come to pass. I like to believe the lows set in August can hold, but soybeans certainly the most tenuous of the three.
Okay. Talk to me about the demand that has showed up for corn and for soybeans here recently.
That's good news.
Why is it showing up now? Is it because our importers were just underbought, or are they front-running the U.S. elections?
You know, I have no inside information on that, no way of assessing that, but they both of those reasons you just laid out, they make a lot of sense, don't they?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think if they are front running the elections, they're probably front running concerns about tariffs. And the ASA, American Soybean Association, and the National Corn Growers Association commissioned a study that was done. The study was titled How Potential New Tariffs Could Impact U.S. Soybeans and Corn. I know you saw it. What were your thoughts?
Well, this study, you've got economists trying to put numbers on things. That is, okay, your listeners are not going to find a report that tells us about the good things that tariffs bring to U.S. agriculture. It's just not going to happen. So this study is trying to assess, okay, if these tariffs go through and China retaliates at different levels, what would the impact be on corn and soybean exports to China? And no surprise, we're going to have a further decrease in exports to China of soybeans, a big number because we export a lot to China, a smaller number in corn only because we export less corn to them. we're going to see corn and soybean prices rise in China, rise in Brazil and Argentina. The Brazilian and Argentinian farmers are going to benefit from that. Our prices will fall. We will probably accelerate the ongoing conversion of cropland in South America. You know, Brazil keeps getting more and more cropland into the mix. There's this whole broader issue of a loss of reputation with trading partners that comes when you put tariffs in place. And as I like to tell producers, Chip, if it's a trade war you want, farmers are going to learn very quickly that they're the front line of this war.
Oh, yeah.
And they will suffer the greatest casualties.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that was proven with the Trump era.
Absolutely.
Tariff and trade war. So you said we're not going to find a report on the good things that tariffs bring to U.S. ag. Could or should there be a report on the good things? What is the upside?
Well, I have a hard time on that one, Chip.
Okay.
You're going to have to give me a couple of weeks. I'll get back to you on that. But the list will be short. Okay?
Okay.
The list will be short.
What about for the U.S. economy in general? Is that something? Is another trade war and a round of tariffs on the bad actors in the global trade? Is it something that farmers should be willing to go through because it's going to end up helping the U.S. economy in the long run?
I don't see it that way. And Chip, here I have to admit I'm sort of a free trader at heart. I have a strong belief that when you trade with people, you're less apt to shoot at each other. And so I'm pro-trade. I like to see more of it, not less of it. We need it. It's an important part of the economy. It's an important part of the world economy as well as our economy. So if you're asking me to lay out the positive benefits of higher tariffs and this knocking heads on trade with other countries, you're asking the wrong person. I have a hard time putting the positive on it.
Yep. Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. And Davis, we can talk a little bit about that. Well, no, we'll talk about it right now because I know that there are people saying, come on, Chip, you can list off some of the things. And I guess if I was going to list off one of the things is the tariffs were used as leverage during the Trump administration. And we got a two-phase agreement that promised reciprocity in trade. The only problem is that we failed to enforce it once the administration's
right.
Changed.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And we tend to do that, Chip, every 4 years. Makes agreements difficult.
Yep, it sure does. Yeah. It sure does. And when the rest of the world decides, what the heck, we're just going to ignore the decisions of these arbitration panels. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but we're going to defund the global trade police.
Mm-hmm.
How do you trust anybody in this environment? How do you trust any trade partner?
Yeah, yeah, it's a difficult situation. I'm thinking of trade disputes years ago with Europe on different commodities, where the groups would go overseas and negotiate a deal, and you think you've got an agreement, go home, and they ignored it anyway. You know, so the trade deals are tricky. Tricky to enforce and frustrating to enforce.
You and I had to spend a lot of time paying attention to what Clayton Yeider negotiated during the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade.
It was good stuff. That you only have to look as far as how much trade has increased with Mexico over the last 30 years to see the wonders of trade.
Yeah,
we trade a lot with Mexico.
Yeah, and Canada. Yeah, you know, in Canada as well.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Bottom line, this stuff for us. Ed, when you are thinking of, when corn, soybean, wheat producers are thinking about their marketing strategies for now through the end of the year, what do you want them thinking about?
Well, I want them to shift gears a bit from the last couple of years and think in terms of selling rallies. Okay, just keep in mind, sell rallies. We had a wonderful rally in the month of September. I think soybean prices recovered $1 a bushel. Corn prices somewhere 40 cents. Wheat prices a big number also. And I started to sound the alarm because that was 3 weeks ago. And as soon as I raised my hand, it started to go back down. But that said, we're going to get rallies. Chip, I don't know how or we never know how or why, but we will have rallies over the next 6-8 months.
Yep.
Don't forget to get them sold. Get something done in them. Stop looking for the highest price. Look for a good average and sell rallies.
Yeah, and figure out what price is going to give you that good average and get your orders in the market to make sales.
Absolutely.
Good idea? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I enjoy these conversations with you, Ed. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Hey, thank you to Bex and to Tyne and U.S. Farm Report and to Chip Flory for showcasing the University of Minnesota.
Excellent. Awesome. Thank you so much, Ed. Ed Husett, Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota.
Want to get
building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false 3 different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you. But they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
For the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Joining me, J. Cole Sanford, cash crop product specialist at New Holland. It is a busy time at New Holland. And now, J. Cole, you've introduced the new CR10. Tell us about this new machine.
Yeah, it's definitely a chip, an awesome, exciting time at New Holland. The CR10 was just released and introduced to public there a few weeks ago at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. You know, the greatest thing about that machine is it offers the same industry-leading technology and features as the CR11, but in a Class 9 machine that's sized to meet some of the capacity needs of many of the farmers and producers here in the North America marketplace.
You mentioned the industry-leading technology, maximized performance. What specific features can we expect to see?
Really, it starts in the power plant. It's powered by a 12.9-liter FPT Cursor 13 engine with an impressive 635 horse. And it's an all-new drivetrain for starters. It also offers twin 24-inch rotors that have dynamic flow control, which allows the crop to be controlled going through the rotor and giving the operator, with the use of IntelliSense, more control of the crop flow to get more efficiency out of the machine. And it also has an all-new twin clean cleaning shoe and has enhanced automation that actually controls and monitors the crop flow through the shoe to get more efficiency out of the cleaning shoe. And what does that lead to? Superior grain quality and minimal losses.
That's fantastic. Does it offer any other automation?
Absolutely. This new generation machine, the CR10, has the ability to have what's called IntelliSpread, a residue automation system that senses the residue spread and then changes the residue system based on what it actually sees. So it's controlling that on the fly.
All right. Where can listeners go for more information?
For more information, just go to newholland.com or contact your local New Holland dealer or search New Holland Agriculture on the social media channels.
Fantastic. Thank you, J. Cole. That is J. Cole Sanford, cash crop product specialist at New Holland.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis here. Chip is here, too. Before I proceed, allow me to equip you. Hate mail. Davis@love/handsome. Hate mail. Davis@love/handsome. Oh, I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, no.
Hate mail. Davis@love.
What are you going to do?
/handsome. I don't know what's about to happen here, dude. Here's the thing. We talked about it this morning. We've talked about it ad nauseum. The tariff stuff.
Yeah.
You brought up a few things, and this is, I'm pulling the pin here. I know what I'm doing. You talked about a few things that maybe could be good things. We don't talk about these good things. Ed said you can't find a single analysis of these tariffs that that nets a positive. I might have one. I might have one. This from the news this morning that we didn't get to. And I feel like, because when I've heard all this discussion, I'm sitting back thinking, okay, we know what this looks like on paper. What is in the mind of Mr. Trump? Mm-hmm. What does a victory look like to him on these? Here's a possible suggestion. The European Union and China have agreed to hold further technical negotiations soon on possible alternatives to tariffs on Chinese-built electric vehicles. Granted, significant gaps remain, this according to the European Commission. We've watched Europe and China go back and forth on these. We're going to tariff you. We're going to tariff you back. We're going to tariff you. Now suddenly there's a negotiation and there's a discussion happening here. To me, a victory gets us around the table with China for a discussion.
Oh.
And maybe this is what gets us there. Maybe this is what a victory looks like when it comes to tariffs.
Okay, yeah. Now, what you just did was you put a parameter on what the victory is. You defined victory. And you defined victory as starting the talks, getting people around the table to talk about trade.
Yes.
So, yeah, tariffs, I think, over the years have done a great job of that. And from that perspective, I would say that tariffs are very much a trade tool that gets results, that gets results. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is nobody likes tariffs.
No. Okay. Understood.
U.S. farmers did not like the countervailing duties that China put on the U.S. China did not like the tariffs that were put on steel, aluminum, and all the other goods. And if we go forward, Sean Haney on the Free for All this morning, you know, basically said, hey, what did we do to deserve a 10% tariff on everything that we export to the United States? We can't buy any more ethanol. We can't buy any more. We can't buy. But if Trump will go forward with his stated plans, and by the way, we should fully expect that he will. Because if there's, boy, if there's one thing that you can say about Donald J. Trump is if he says it, he's probably going to do it.
He's going to do it. Yeah.
He's going to do it. He proved that in his first term. You know, we got like, I remember it so specifically. We were like 6 months in to the first, you know, first year of, or 6 months into the Trump administration. Yep. And I remember very clearly saying, why is anybody surprised by this stuff? This is he said exactly what he was going to do, and now he's doing it.
Yes.
So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. So the tariffs have become such a hot topic discussion for him that it's a personal issue now. You know, he called out a longtime economist and basically said, man, it must suck to be wrong for 25 years about what tariffs can do. So he's going to at least attempt to prove that he is right with tariffs on everything coming in. Everything. Mm. Doesn't matter, you know, ally or enemy. They're going to put a tariff on anything that's coming in. And it's a 100% tariff on everything coming in from China. I think that's what it is. Or is it 200?
And I heard her
100.
I'd heard something to the effect of, and if we have to, we'll go to 200.
Right. I've heard. Right. That. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where that comes in.
So, you know, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it when I say this, but I think he's going to win. So we are going to find out.
Okay. Okay. Well, you just hope, my hope is that, okay, if the end game is to get trading partners around the table for some negotiations, I hope that there's the foresight to know, okay, what is my go on this? What do I want from Canada? What do I, you know, what,
Davis,
what relationships can we bolster through those conversations and say, you know what, tariffs, you know what,
Davis,
we'll be friends.
At the start of this conversation, you did more in a trade negotiation than the trade negotiations would be able to get done in 6 months. You defined what victory is. You defined what victory is. Mm-hmm. Okay? They won't even be able to decide within 6 months of what victory is in these trade talks. Yeah. You know, they won't be able to decide what the end zone is. And once they do decide what the end zone is, they're going to keep moving the line.
Yes, you can't just keep smacking people around.
That's
At some point, you have to make friends.
National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day. It's got above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation. Jeez, the 8 to 14 day, that's going to get us out there a ways, isn't it? That's going to get us out to November 8th. November 8th, yeah. Wow. All right. Hey, come back on Monday morning. Thank you for listening this week. We got Machine Repeat on Monday morning.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company.
Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's better over here. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has an exclusive rate plan just for you. Right now, get two lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, you can get one of the latest 5G phones free.